Well, I'm very excited to get to talk to you guys today. Men are so important. They are. Society does not really give men the value, give them the value that they are. You know, a lot, they try to diminish it. And if you've noticed, they try to feminize men now. They're not allowed to be these strong, macho, you know, save the day, prince charming men. They're supposed to talk a little bit like women do, and, you know, have emotions like women do. And, you know, there's just a lot our society is pushing towards. Our men are not allowed to be the men that they were allowed to be years in the past. And so today, I have had stuff stirring in for several weeks, and I was just like, I don't know, maybe I'm not supposed to speak, but for some reason, it just kept stirring in on my heart to just encourage those of you that are here today, just to tell you, you are on the right track. You're doing an awesome job. You are doing what God intended for you to do. And also to encourage you and let you know, from a woman's perspective, that we want you to be men. We're so glad that you're men. We're so glad that this isn't a church full of women only. You know, there are those things. Have you ever been to a church that's women only? Let me tell you, it gets a little weird. Women are great. They get in tune with the spiritual side of things, but they can get off very easy. And that's why God created men and women. It's a partnership. It's something that is God-ordained. And if God set it up, it's for our benefit. It is not something that's meant to be, to put the woman down, you know, to make her less worthy than the man is. God doesn't do things like that. He sets things up that are for our good, for the man's good and the woman's good. And so today we want to celebrate Father's Day because men are important and their role is special and it's ordained by God. And so let's just open with a word of prayer. God, we just thank you that this is the day that you have made. God, that this is a day that we are to honor the men that are doing things your way, the godly way, that are setting an example for their family to follow after you, God, that are showing by example the things that are important, that you have deemed important. They are saying that in their home, these are important as well. And so, God, we just praise you. We just agree right now that you would have your way in this service, God, that it would be something that would encourage and embolden the men of our church to do what you have created them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to start out with a little bit of some statistics that came in an email this week, a couple weeks ago. And it's Josh McDowell Ministries. He, I guess, is very centered on what the father's role. He does a lot of studies and research on that and the importance of what a father is in the home. And so in this email, it gave a few statistics that I wanted to pass on. First of all, if a father does not go to church, only one child in 50 will become regular worshipers. Just one in 50. Thank God for that one in 50. So if for some reason you know somebody that is raising a child whose father is not going to church, well, they could be that one in 50. So we don't look on the negative of it, but we, you know, with God, all things are possible. So no matter what our circumstances are, with God, all things are possible. Out of the 25 million children who are fatherless, 67% of these children will become inmates. they're five more times to be likely to be poor. 30% are more likely to use drugs, and they're two times as likely to drop out of school. Fatherless females are, there's 53% more likely to marry as teenagers, 71% more likely to have children as teens, and 16% more likely to have a child out of wedlock, and then 92% more likely to get a divorce. Those are pretty, in-your-face statistics. And if you see what's going on, you see there is an attack on marriage. It is so easy to get divorced. More easy to get divorced now than it's ever been. It's so easy to never get married. You can just live together. That is socially acceptable. Even 50 years ago, that would have been frowned upon to live together. But nowadays, hey, let's test the waters, see what's going on. I tell Jim all the time, I say, you know what? Women, they were dumb to do, you know, they don't understand men. to give sex easy means that the man does not have to take ownership. He gets what he wants without taking the responsibility of it. And there are men out there that do not like responsibility. It's just the way it is, you know? And so sometimes women, they don't understand it, and they think that that's the way to capture the man. But I just want to encourage you, young man, thank you. You are doing a good job taking responsibility. And so today, all of you men that are here today, you are making a difference in your family just by showing up today. You are showing your family that God is important to you. You are showing your family that that to choose to come to church consistently is something that you deem important. And because you deem it important, your children are going to deem that important. They're going to say, hey, my dad thought it was important enough to go to church. They're more likely to want to go. Now, if the woman is going to church, the moms are going to church, you know, there is a good thing that comes with that. And there are parents that have had that. But when the dad, it's like, when dad gets home, you better be careful. You know, you just wait till dad gets home. It's that same weight. When the dad is the one going to church, that the children are like, okay, that's important. This must be something that is very important. And this will affect future generations. It doesn't just affect your children. What it does is it paints a picture for your daughters to marry men that go to church, to understand the importance of marrying a Christian versus just accepting any old man that would come across their path and ask them to marry him. They're looking for somebody that is going to, that will take the leadership in their home to show them how to go to church. Your sons will be the ones that will take the stand and go to church and, have their families. If they have seen their dad going to church consistently, they are going to set that example for their families, which affects your grandchildren. And then if that's affecting your grandchildren and your children are doing the right thing for that, that's going to affect your great-grandchildren. And that is such a heritage to be able to have that you, as for you and your house, you will serve the Lord. So if we look at Joshua 24, 14 through 15, let's go there in our Bibles. There are many, many men today that are sitting at home or that are getting ready to celebrate Father's Day, but they're doing it without their Father God. And they're showing their family that church isn't as important because that's not where they are today. And so you here are a wonderful example. Even your grown children are noticing what you're doing today. Your grown children realize that this is important to you, to go to church, even on Father's Day. Instead of, you may have your celebrations, but you put the celebration after church instead of during church. And your grown children see that, and they realize that this is what was important to Dad. This is what's important to him. And so they're watching you. They're seeing you go to God in the good times. They're seeing you go to God in the hard times. They're watching you honor God by giving him place each and every Sunday, by putting this as the important value on Sunday mornings. They're watching you. They're watching you read your Bible. They're watching you pray and talk about God. This isn't just mom's religion to them anymore. This is what my dad wants. This is what my dad thinks is important. And that just carries weight. And so if we look in Joshua 24, 14 through 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When a man takes that stand, when a man says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When you take that stand, you have set the goal, the purpose, what is important to your family. You are saying, we're going to serve God. We're going to do things God's way. And when you take that stand, that affects your wife, that affects your children, because that is now what's important in the home. There are all sorts of different things that the world says are important. And all those things you are not going to take with you to the grave. But you will take your wife and your children into eternal life with you when you have taken that stand that, you know what, we are going to serve the Lord. No matter what, we are going to serve the Lord. No matter the cost, no matter what's going on, we are going to serve the Lord. That is so important. If we look at 1 Corinthians 11:3, this is a scripture that just completely flies in the face of what our society says today. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Right there. That flies in the face of society. It's not Christ, it's whatever you want it to be. It's whatever you think is important, that's what's important. No, the Bible flat out says, the head of every man is Christ. That means you're getting your instructions for life from God. He's the one that you are taking your orders from. He is your Lord. He's your Savior. You're saying, he's over me. And in today's society, nobody wants to have anyone over them. You know, it doesn't matter that the CEO has risked all of everything, his life savings, to start a business or not. The people underneath think they should be paid equal with him because they're all working, and so therefore everyone should be paid the same. That's not in the Bible. That's not the way that God looks at things. God said the man is under the authority. His authority should come from Christ. That is who he is underneath. That is who should be giving him his marching orders. And as he is getting his marching orders from Christ, he is now the head of the woman. And so the woman is looking to the man and finding out what her place is and how she is to help the man in order to help the family. And so as she takes her place, and then the head of Christ is God. So even Jesus has a boss, and that's his Father. So you've got Father God, you've got Christ, you've got man, and then you've got woman right here. It doesn't mean that the woman is not important. No, the woman is still very, very important. Her role is extremely important because how many of you have ever heard a man, a great man, say that he could not have done what he has done without his wife? There have been so many men, very good men, that have said that their wife is how they have gotten to where they are today. Their wife, the constant encouragement, the love, the support, the behind the scenes that she is doing, the help that she is to the children, all those things that have taken place that the woman has done is not insignificant. It's very important. But our society has said no, men and women are equal. We are equal as far as we are before God. We are humans. That is the truth. And there has been a lot of people in the past, a lot of men that were excessive in this and were not nice and didn't treat their women properly. And that's what created a rebellion against the home and against the woman's being submissive to the husband and things like that. We're not saying that the man should lord over his authority of the woman, because that's not how Jesus does it. Jesus does not make you do anything. He suggests, he tries to lead you, but he does not make you as a man do anything. And so therefore the man should not be trying to make the woman do anything. It has to be something that the woman chooses to follow God and to give to her husband and to give support and to be able to allow God's way of doing things to affect your family. And there's a blessing that just comes with that. There's a blessing that comes to a home that has chosen to do things God's way. I can tell you, just looking even in the families that we have here today, those that choose to allow God to let the man be the head and the woman to be right there as helper, and they're working together as a team to follow God's plan for their life, they can stand up and say, it's worth it. It's worth it to do it this way. So you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And our society does that in so many different areas. And this is one area. Forget all leadership, because there's some leaders that are bad. So let's not have any leaders. We're all equal. We're all the same. But that's not how God set things up. And he, again, I want to stress this. He did not do that to make it difficult on anyone. He did it because he knew that's what was best for us, and because he loved us. And so there is a freedom that comes when a man takes the leadership. Women were not meant to carry some of the stress and the responsibility of leading a home. They're just not meant to have to do some of those things. And so when a man takes that lead and that responsibility, it allows the woman to flourish in what she is created to do, which is to be the helpmate, and which is to help the man be everything that he can be, and therefore the household be everything that they're supposed to be. Now, this is Father's Day, so we're going to take it on further. So if women will take their rightful place, that allows God to bless the home. There's another side of it, though. Sometimes men won't take their leadership role And so then it makes the woman have to be the leader, because sometimes the man doesn't want to take that responsibility, because it is a responsibility. It isn't easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Sometimes it's difficult to have the buck stopping with you, to have the final word. There's a risk that's involved with that. But if you are submitting to God, then the buck stops with him. So if you're saying, I'm going to do things God's way and the way he's outlined in the Bible, then you can trust that that's for your good, and that the decisions that you are making based on the Bible will positively affect your wife and your children. You will never see in the Bible that it refers to God as the God of Sarah, the God of Rebecca, the God of Leah and Rachel. He is never referred to as that. Instead, he's referred to as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. It is important for men not to relinquish their leadership spiritually to their wife. Many times men will think, oh, that's my wife's job. She's really in tune with God. She's the one that kind of leads the home when it comes to spiritual things. And it's easy to do that, but God never is referred to as the God of the wives. He's referred to not as the God of the moms. He's referred to as the God of our fathers. That means our fathers are taking their place and standing up and saying, this is the way our house is to be run. And then the wife comes along with her giftings and her in-tuneness to God and to spiritual things, and that is a helpmate to the husband to give these the love and the gentleness and the affection that the children need. That is such a blessing. But they also see the firmness, the steadfastness, the no, this is the way it should be done. They see that coming from strong, godly men that are taking their place and saying, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's going to happen. And when a family is set like that, the home has harmony. It doesn't mean that sometimes you don't have disagreements. You do. And men, a good, strong leader, will listen to input and hear what input that the wife has to say, even what the children have to say, especially as they get older. Sometimes your children are going to have really good input on it. But the buck stops with the husband, with the father, saying, you know what? But this is what the Bible says. And I really feel like this is the way that it goes, whether it's agreeing with what the mom is saying, or whether it's having to go and say, you know, I really feel like this is the way we should do things. I believe that this is the stand that we should take. And as men do that, women have confidence in that their husband is doing what he knows is best for the home. I have to tell you, one of the things that made it easy for me to say yes to that I wanted to marry Jim was I felt in my heart that he would do his best to do what God wanted him to do, to follow the Holy Spirit. That was very important to me, because I realized at that time we did not know where our life was going. We did not know what if we were going to go into ministry, what all was involved down the road. We didn't see the next 15 years of our life. We had no idea we were coming to Boston. None of those things were even a thought in our mind at that point. But I really believed that Jim would do his best to follow God. If he felt like God was telling him A, we were going to do A. And I knew that if I had a man like that, I would end up being fulfilled. Because as God was fulfilling the plan for him, my plan would be fulfilled as well. And that it takes a freedom. It takes a load off of us as we know that the man is leading the home the way that God would have the home to be led. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Let's look at Proverbs 22:6. This is actually doing even more with the children aspect of being a father. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So many times it's easy for Christians to get consumed with ministry and ministry to others and to discount the importance of ministering to your children. And I want to encourage you that you, again, what I was saying a little bit earlier, you will have a more longer, far-reaching influence on what your family does than even and what you are doing for other people. Because if you are creating a solid love for God in your children, again, that will affect who they marry, which will affect who or how their children are being raised, which will in turn affect your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And so it is so important for you to see your children as your ministry. That is important. And even if your children are grown, you don't have the influence of teaching them how to tie their shoe, but they are still watching you. They are seeing what's important to you. And they are knowing by, okay, you know, Dad said he's going to church no matter what. And so we're not going to schedule little Joey's, his birthday party at 10 o'clock because Dad's not going to be there at 10 o'clock because Dad's going to be in church. Those kind of things speak volumes to your family. That lets them know that, look, this is important to Dad. And so as you take these different steps, you are still influencing your children, no matter what, even if they're grown. And it is a blessing. You are leaving a heritage for your children that even after you are gone, God is still speaking to their hearts and still bringing back to their remembrance the things that you have said and the things that you have put into them. And how many times is it that at someone's funeral that a child will just, okay, finally I'll surrender my life because I know that that's what my dad would want me to do. And they realize that that was important to Dad. And so even if you don't see the fruit of it in your life, there's going to be a day when you're in heaven and you are opening your arms up and receiving your children into heaven. And they're going to say, Dad, you were right. So even if you don't hear those words here on earth, they're coming. There's a day when they're going to be like, yes, Dad, you were right. You were right. God is real, and he is important, and they're going to thank you for the what you have put the importance on and what you have valued. They're going to be thanking you for that. Our time here on earth is short. It's very short. Even if you live to be 120 years, it's short. There's only so many things that you can do. There's only so much money that you can make. And you're not taking that with you after you're dead. That's not going with you. And your cool house, your cool cars, your cool this, that, and the other. None of that that today's society says is important, none of that is going with you once you're dead. Ecclesiastes, I just finished reading that not too long ago, and it paints a very real picture of what's important. And at the very end of Ecclesiastes, let's just look there real quick. Ecclesiastes is after Song of Solomon. He goes through in Ecclesiastes and just says, wisdom is dumb, and money is dumb, and all these different things are dumb. They're unimportant. They're meaningless. There's nothing to it. Without God, all those things are meaningless. And then he sums it all up in verse 13 and 14. The conclusion, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is what's important. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. You're not going to care about your house when you're in heaven. You're not going to care about your car when you're in heaven. The thing you're going to care about is your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Those are the things that are going to be important to you when you're in heaven. And so by coming and being faithful, I just want to encourage you, you are on the right track. The things that are valuable, you are imparting into your family. Whether they're sitting with you in the same church or not, it doesn't matter. They're seeing that you are saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. By you coming today, you are taking a stand and saying, this is what's important to me, and therefore this shouldn't be important to my family. And I just want to encourage you, you are doing awesome things for God. Whether you're standing up here preaching behind a pulpit, whether you're working in children's or doing anything else for other people, what you're doing for your children in giving them a godly example is worth it. That's more important than even, we've got Earl and Don that are helping out in a Bible school and doing great things for God there in this Bible school. But their family, they're going to care more about their family getting to heaven than even all these wonderful students that are being brought across their path. The thing that's going to matter more to them is that their children and grandchildren are in heaven when they get there. And I just want to encourage you, it doesn't matter what you're doing as far as preaching or just working in a place. You may be a social worker doing great things, helping all these families that need to know about God. That is great. And that may be exactly the plan of God for you. But the thing that's going to matter most to you is what your children are doing and what your grandchildren are doing. And so you are on the right track. If this is not something that's supposed to be, the thing that I just felt in my heart is it's not something that you're supposed to go away with thinking, oh, I'm doing this wrong and I'm not doing that right. I didn't want to have like a 10-point sermon so that you can say, well, I've got 2 of the 10, okay, but the rest of the 8, I'm missing it on. And you go home and just feel like, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. No, the point of this is to say you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. You are. By putting God first in your life, you are affecting other people. And you should go home and feel like, God, thank you. Thank you that I found you, that I'm living for you, and that I have this opportunity to share that with my family and to help my family to know the direction that they should go and what's truly important in life. And so God is faithful. He is very, very faithful. As you have put him first in your life by being here today, as you have put him first, he rewards that. He is looking on your heart and he's saying, you know what? I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that you are here. And he is smiling upon the fact that we have so many men in this church doing what God deems is important. He said, don't forsake the assembling together. And you are not forsaking the assembling together. And because you are doing that, you are giving him place to be able to honor you and to also be able to reward you. And the biggest reward you have is what happens to your children and to your grandchildren. And so, excellent job. Excellent job. I'm telling you, our society makes men look dumb and foolish for liking certain things sometimes. And I just want to say, that's not how God sees you. He looks at you and he said, I want you to be. He let Abraham and Isaac and Jacob be these strong, godly men as an example for what today's men should look like. And today, that's what we have. We have a church full of strong, godly men that are affecting their families in the way that they are supposed to be. And it's an honor and a privilege for us as a family to be able to have this this body of believers together. And so thank you guys so much for doing what you were created to do. And that is to lead your family and to say without a doubt in your heart, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.